read this verse of scripture. It's very familiar. I've used it in text, I'm sure, since I've been here. But I want to share it in a different light. I want to use it to jump off from what I'm going to talk about tonight as a church in transition. And I think, without a doubt, all of us can clearly see not just our church, but the church, the true church of the living God, is in a transition. And we're I don't want to use the same cliches and phrases that we hear over and over again, but we are in something. I was speaking with Sister Elizabeth earlier before service. We're seeing something that nobody has a template to say this is what you do, or a book to read, or I can't pick up a phone and call a pastor and say, hey, you know, you've been through this before. What do you think we ought to do? It doesn't work that way. We're in something that I believe that God is going to use this. And I'm going to speak for a little while on that. But talking about a church in transition, generally but specifically to the Alligood Church of God. The word of the Lord reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Did you hear me now? Don't matter what's going on, you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This is not an indictment against anybody that has chosen to do what they feel like is best for them. I salute them. I encourage that. I embrace that. I respect that. But you understand, and in the midst of whatever is going on, we have this command that we must come together. That's clear. Amen. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see what day? The day. The coming of the Lord. How many of you know, without a doubt, that we're living in the last day? So I don't want anything to keep me from that wanting to get together with the people of God. Amen. Amen. Again, I want you to understand before I pray and before we're seated, this is not an indictment of if people have underlying medical. We have people that have talked to me and said, listen, we're holding tight. We're doing what we got to do. I respect it. I honor it. I admire them for doing what they have to do. But we also, as a church, we just cannot go and bury our heads in the sand. There's some large church in Charlotte, 10,000 members, closed their doors a couple of months ago till the end of the year. And I read an article from the pastor explaining why he's doing this. And he made a lot of good points. I have to give him credit. He's a lot smarter man than I am. But I couldn't imagine not coming together with you people. I could not imagine. Let us pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, tonight, God, for that anointing, Lord, not only for myself, but for those that are here, those that are listening, Lord, tonight online. And Father, we're here together, Lord, and even those that can't be with us or made a decision that to actively not come until things are worked out or better, God, we are all one body, Lord, united in one body. But God, give us, Lord, ears to hear tonight, God. Lord, give me wisdom, Lord God, to preach the words that you would have me preach, God. Bless this time together, Lord. What a sacred and a wonderful opportunity we have, even on this Wednesday night. Would somebody say amen? You can be seated. Now, understand, I said finish that prayer. Well, this is a sacred opportunity. What we have, we come together, oh, it's just a Wednesday night. You know, we have the bigger crowds on Sunday mornings, and, you know, we got all of this going on and that. No, every time we get together, it's a sacred opportunity to meet with God. Can you meet with God in the morning when you get up? Yes. Laying in bed at night? Yes. We all are driving down the road in your car, going to work, going anywhere. Anywhere you go, you can go somewhere and meet God. But there's just something special about us coming together as a body of believers. Can I make a statement? I need y'all. Y'all need me. Those listening to us out on the online community, those that listen on the online community that are actively a part of our church but are staying home, we need y'all. Y'all need us. Come on here. This is something special when the people of God get together. It is unlike any other event that is going on. Even in the sports world today, they are having the playoffs of the basketball just ended. I could care less now because I'm just so tired of professional athletes. What's the word I'm looking for? Lecturing me on how to live. But they played this last championship in front of no fans. And a lot of the basketball players were saying that it's just not the same without having that energy that those people in the stand. Now, I'm boycotting the NFL because of their stance. And I'm tired of people that support openly. Well, I'm good at all of that right tonight. But I'm tired of professional sports that support same-sex marriage, trying to lecture me about how to live, okay? But they're playing stadiums that a whole 60,000 fans are sitting there with 10,000. And it's like being the athletes are saying it's not the same. Well, can I tell you something tonight? When we come together, if you're not here, it's not the same. I preached in this pulpit with nobody here and my Apple iPhone in front of me. It ain't the same. I felt the Lord. I did. I promise you, it felt good, and the Lord anointed me, and I preached. But it's not the same, you know, because we've got a clear command from God. When you look all throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, the early church, Lord, as we've gone through each century, there is something, amen, special about the people of God getting together. And so I admire you and I respect you for coming out tonight and being in the house of the Lord. And again, I want to talk for a little while now, but in the midst of all of this, our church, the church of the living God, is in a transition. This thing did not start out as an attack against the church. It was a worldwide, if it was, and I think it was, I don't know. I don't know any more than maybe you do, or maybe you know more, but whatever it was, we didn't know how to react. So the first Sunday that when they closed everything down, we went out, we went online only. We shut the complete church, the building down, but we went online. Then we had a good, praise God, what an amazing group of volunteers that stepped up to the plate and said, let's go outside and let's set this thing up and let's have church. And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed being outdoors for those 2 months. That was good. Amen. That was wonderful. And we said, instantly what I'm saying here is that we were a church in transition. We were saying, okay, we're in the midst of this. Now, God, help us to minister and to continue to be the church. Do we want to keep people safe? We want folks to social distance. We want you to wash your hands and use hand sanitizers. I don't see a mask in here tonight. We want some of you to wear masks if you want to. Amen. Come on here now. We want to follow it because those things work when the flu season is in. Come on now, don't lose me now. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but it does not abdicate the laws of God when he said, don't forsake ourselves coming together. I'd rather obey God than obey man. So the church is in transition, and what we've got to do as a church, me as a leader, as the leader of the church and the leadership of this church and the rank and file, you, all of the lay people that are in the church, all of us that are working together, we've got to figure out, God, what are we going to do? What is the next step for our church? What is the next step for the church? How are we going to impact? Listen, I believe the days of the church being the church only on 5 or 6 hours a week, I don't believe that we built this building, or y'all built it because you had it built and paid for before I got here, but I don't believe we built it so it would sit empty night after night, week after week, month after month, come on now, year after year. I believe that the church should be a 7-day-a-week missional organization, impacting the community that is around it. Not simply being a place where we just get together and worship for just a few hours during the week, but a place where there is life transformation, where the early church is duplicated now in the New Testament. The New Testament church is duplicated in 20, 2020 and 2021, where we'll see souls saved, lives touched, people sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, amen, delivered from demonic possession and oppression. Somebody help me now. We want to be a New Testament church. Maybe all of this happened that it would cause us to say, hey, maybe we need to pivot. Maybe we need to relaunch. Maybe we need to reinvent ourselves. I don't know if reinventing ourselves is the answer. But maybe there needs to be a divine shift in the way we do church. Maybe we need to start looking outside. Listen, I'll say this, and I know we're online, and it's nothing controversial. This church, if you're online and you've never been here, we are a traditional Pentecostal conservative church. And we're not making any apologies for that. Matter of fact, I'm kind of proud of that. So in saying that, it's not that we're any different in a sense as far as those that are advancing the kingdom of God, but within our distinctiveness of who we are and what we are, does the pattern of what we're doing here truly duplicate the New Testament church? Or have we become simply enamored or at ease in Zion, if you will, with the fact that the Spirit moves? People every once in a while will get saved, and we have wonderful outpourings of the Spirit in this church, and I thank God that I'm in the middle of all of it, amen. But what do we need to do, amen, when we see a culture, a nation that is turning itself against the very foundations that we were raised on or that we were founded on as a nation? Statistics are telling us, and how accurate they are, but I keep hearing them over. 1 in 5 churches is probably going to close because of this COVID. Think about that now. 1 in 5 churches possibly could close because of this COVID. Finances for some churches are now on a decline. Churches that were already struggling before this are struggling even mightier now. So we don't turn to government to bail us out. We don't turn to books and nobody wants to talk about church growth now. Brother Chris, they ain't advertising nothing in the Church of God. Let's go and have a church growth conference. We ought to have it's almost like, let's have a church survive conference. How are we going to get through this? I know how we're going to get through it, Brother Kenny. We're going to trust in God. We're going to let Him lead us. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to believe God. And I believe that God wants us to pivot and be the 2020, this new 21st century church that mimics and mirrors the New Testament church. So how do we move forward in 2020 and beyond in this crisis? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you, I really don't know. All I'm going to do is follow God. And I need y'all to get in lockstep behind me. And I want us to really pray like, and that, you know, see, we ought not even have to get on Pentecostal folks and say, y'all need to pray. You know we need to pray. Dear Lord, before any of this stuff started happening, we needed to pray. But how much more? Let's pray for struggling churches. Let's pray for churches that are compromising. Let's pray for churches that are having to close their doors or shutting themselves down. Now, I did read this article, the same article written by this man that closed his church down. He says, well, he had a lot of good points, but it lost me, brothers and sisters, when he said, in our church, we've got people all across the board. I said, well, so do we, yeah. We got quiet people. Nice people, loud people. I'll stop there. We got good folks here. He said, but in my church, he said, we've got progressives, liberals, and conservatives. And he said, we've got Democrats and Republicans. I thought to my Lord and my God, I'd hate to have to preach to that crowd every week. You see, the church is not made up of Democrats and Republicans and progressives and liberals and whatever ism and schism there is. We are the blood-washed throne, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You cannot define us or categorize us or put us in some box and say that we are this and this. No, we're people of the book. People of the Spirit, amen. People of God, amen, who look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who we are as a church. I asked us this tonight, let's embrace these extraordinary opportunities that are before us. We're stepping out next Wednesday night. Brother Chris is going to teach a preach. I keep saying teach. You ain't. Don't teach. Preach, brother. Well, do whatever the Lord leads you. Go have a Wednesday night teen service going on simultaneously. That's a big word. I hope I said it right. At the same time. Thank you, Brother Zach said I said it right. At the same time this one's going on, we want an outpouring. Brother, y'all have church down there. And if it's dead and quiet up here, I might just walk away from here and go down there and be with y'all. Amen. That ain't what I'm looking for. But let's, that's new for us. My goodness, if our teenagers and young people have ever needed a move of the Spirit, God, church. I've made a decision. The first Sunday in November, we're going back on Sunday nights. Sunday morning, we're going back having Sunday school. Okay? It's been 8 months since we've had Sunday school. Is it the right decision? I don't know. We'll find out. Been 8 months since we had, I know we just got out of revival. It's been nearly eight months. By the middle of November, it'll be 8 months since we've had service. We've started. We've been in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings now for a few months. We're gonna press in now. We're going to embrace the opportunities that we have in 2020 and on and beyond. Sunday mornings, this class that meets in here, the adult class, is going to meet in the fellowship hall. And the reason for that is because of the COVID, we want to have them down there and people come in for morning worship. They are free to come on in and sit down, and we don't have to hold them out there in the fellowship hall. Okay? Our Sunday morning classes for our children need Sunday school. They need their parents to teach them at home, but they need Sunday school. We've got another generation that's following us, and I don't know if they're going to be if this generation is going to be around or the Lord's going to come back first. I don't know. I hope the Lord comes back first. We believe that. We believe the Lord could come at any time, but we are charged. The school systems. Our schools in, I don't know, I hope I'm right about this. I know the school my daughter goes to just opened up this week. They just opened up. Now, if the children, I'm all for that. That's okay with me. I told the principal, I had a long conversation with the principal. I said, it's probably like being in the church. You don't really know what to do. He can't call another principal and say, what do we do in this? I told him, I said, well, we're going to sit out one more 9 weeks. You know why I told him that? I said, we're going to see how, let y'all work, get the bugs worked out. I called her teacher, and I talked to her teacher. He's a good Christian man, goes to the Church of Christ uptown, and God, I love this guy. I love him. And we had a good conversation, and he said, Pastor, well, tell me how Annika feels about staying home and or either coming back to school. You know what I told him? I said, if it was up to her, you would never see her again. What's the beat? Staying home and in your pajamas in front of a computer screen and having, look, she got through with her first class the other day. And she was out in the front yard in pajamas riding the golf cart, and the rest of the kids are in bath having school. What's not to like? She's going back next semester, though. What am I saying, amen? If they can start school back and teach them in school, how much more should we have our church Sunday schools go? Now is not the time to shut down and close down. It's time to start. Come on here. I'm not talking about doing stuff irrational and not concerned about the safety of people. Of course we are. But it's time to realize we're a church in a crisis and a church in a transition. And we've got to move forward. And I need your support. And I need your backing. Let's do this thing together. Let's cover it with prayer. Let's saturate what we're doing with prayer. Say, God, bless our Sunday night. You know, I've missed Sunday night services. Because, you know, historically, and we're the church I grew up in, and the church you probably, in this church, historically, our Sunday night services are our sometimes our best services. We don't limit God. God can move on Wednesday night. See, I came in here in 2017, and I preached like I was in revival on Wednesday nights. That's the way I've always been. I like to teach on Wednesday nights. And I there's different seasons and times for everything. But you can have just as good a service on Wednesday nights you can Sunday morning or Sunday night. Anybody tell you anything different don't understand the way God moves. God can move here tonight. Come on and say amen. Let me move on. We need to understand online, what we're doing online is a wonderful thing. It is an amazing tool to reach people. I cannot tell you how many people we've reached, the comments, the calls, the response that we've gotten, and we're going to continue to embrace that. That's changed who we are as a church. We've had all of our preachers, I think all of them now has preached online. We've had services that when we were outside, I don't know if y'all knew this, but we came back in with the musicians and had praise and worship, and then the preacher would get up, whether it was me or Chris or Sister Elizabeth, Brother Craig, we got up and we preached a message just like the house was full. And we reached people, and people say we enjoy the services. This is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity that we need to embrace and put our resources into. Don't limit ourselves to just this time in this building. Come on. But I can tell you what online won't never do. It will never replace coming in this building. Never. And I've watched some powerful online services where I have felt the presence of the Lord. Now, I like Tommy Bates. Now, you may not like him, but I do. I like his ministry. He makes me mad. You know why? Because he sings better than me, he preaches better than me, and he can tear that piano up. But I still love him. Amen. And I have watched him, and he online, and I tell you, I'm about to have church right by myself. And it's wonderful, but it can never replace what we're doing here. And I can tell you right now, our kids, they need to be, and I love what we do here, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. We bring all of them in under normal circumstances. They're in this building on Sunday morning, sitting, most of them, with their parents, grandparents, or whoever. And they're able to worship together in the house of God. Do you understand how important that is? To have your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, and your family members, and to be able to worship God with the freedom that we have in this country. And if we didn't have it, it's still an amazing thing to be able to come to the house of God and worship together. Our children need to see a move of the Spirit in the house of God. I've seen my youngin, 4 and 5, 6 years old, tears running down her eyes, hands raised, shaking under the presence of God. I got on her the other day. Y'all don't tell her now. Y'all always tell on me when I say something about her or my wife. I said, baby, you won't press it in the other Sunday. She said, I was singing. I said, yeah, but you won't. You look like you were bored to death. I said, you know what, baby? I said, there's 2 times to praise the Lord. When you feel like it, and when you don't, I stole that, amen, it's all right. I want to encourage them. That's why I encourage you. You need to praise him whether you feel like it or not. This is a great opportunity, a sacred event that we have to come to God's house tonight, Wednesday night, whatever day it is in October the 14th, and that is to come and worship and praise God. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God tonight. We need to pivot to realize just who we are as the church. We are ambassadors. We represent Christ on earth. That's what the church is. The church is a living, breathing organism. It is not just an organization. It is something that is alive. We are ambassadors, the representatives of Christ. We are the only hope for the world. Brother Kenny couldn't put it no better when he's exhorting us during the praise. People are searching. You've heard this all your life. What do you, when you see those crazy protesters out there in the streets screaming and spitting on cops and breaking down windows and turning over police cars, and you say, what's wrong with them? They need the Lord. I did the funeral of a good friend of mine a week or two ago. It's been a couple weeks, I guess, now. And he came to the Lord after living a pretty rough life. He came to the Lord the last 2 or 3 weeks of his life. And I saw him in the hospital before he slipped off in kind of a semi-comatose state, I guess is the right word. And he said, I'm going to be in church somewhere Sunday with determination, dying of cancer. He said, I'm going to be, and he didn't get to fulfill that because he would go into that coma and then he would die. But he said, I'm going to be in church. See, that's not the time. And I thank God for that, for my buddy. And I thank God for his mercy, reaching down at the very last moment. But I don't want to get in that shape, amen. And that's where people are. They need to be saved. They need to be sanctified. They need to be filled with the Spirit. They need to be in church. Then they won't be out in the streets knocking police cars over. They'll be running around these aisles maybe knocking us over because we won't get out of the way. Just yesterday as I was at the hospital, I ran into some of his family, and they were there for another event. And this man's sister said, have you heard about Leanne? And I said, no. This was this man who passed 2 weeks ago. His 29-year-old daughter died from a drug overdose. 29 years old. I just saw her at the funeral, spoke to her briefly. I hadn't seen her since she was a child when I used to go over to their house when they were, him and his wife were then married, and the child was, and y'all know how I was playing, you know, I used to play with her and ride on my back, you know, I just cut up like I always have. And I told her how sorry I was. I hugged her neck, told her I loved her, and now a week or two later, there she is gone, you know. This world needs the church. It needs the church. And we're the ones that's got to, and we are the church, not this building. We're the church. Sister Ellen, if you'll come on back, a couple more things. The church is responsible for carrying the gospel. That crowd in the streets, you know, we talked about it this afternoon. That crowd up in Portland on day 105 of rioting, they're not carrying the gospel. That crowd in Washington, D.C. ain't carrying the gospel. These antichrist, agnostic, atheistic people, they're not carrying the gospel. We are. The church is carrying the gospel. We need the church. I need you. You need me. This world needs us to be the church. We're responsible for carrying this out. We're responsible. Brother Kenny, if we don't call out sin, who's going to do it? The world's not going to police themselves. The world's not going to call out wickedness and wrongdoing. If you've not looked, we're living in the day where Isaiah said they call evil good and good evil. They're not going to, we can't expect. I ain't looking for Joe Biden to get up and start preaching righteousness and holiness. Who's going to carry this message? That's the church. We're here to call out sin, and we're here to promote righteousness. God's coming back, people. The Lord's coming back for a church without spot, without a blemish. I want you to stand. want you to bow your heads. I don't know if you've thought about this. I'm sure you have. But if everyone that named the name of Jesus, that was truly saved in America, would understand the responsibility that we have. I'm not looking for a political party to be my savior. But if the church would just vote biblical values. You say, we need to separate, you know, politics from the church. I don't think you can. Because when the political and the governmental realms of this nation are passing laws that are against the clear teaching of Scripture, if the church doesn't cry out, who will? This election season, I encourage you to get out and vote. Vote biblical values. I believe that's part of the duty of the church. Some would disagree with me. We wouldn't be in this mess that we're in. I believe if the church hadn't have been silent and on the sidelines for so long, I believe the Lord's using this to wake up the sleeping giant that is the church. I'll tell you, he's got my attention. There's a battle for the soul of America. It's wrong versus right, evil versus good. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan.